Well, statistics suggest that the unemployment rate is up to 6 points higher in Arabic communities in Canada. Would you agree with that?
I am not surprised. I am not surprised. It's sad to see that. At the same time, it reflects a certain reality, a reality that has been prominent since, not only since the 9/11, because 9/11 was just a start of a multiplication of events, right? There have been many wars, right? The war in Iraq, the war in Lebanon, war in, well, the uprising in the Middle East. So the international eye has been on the Middle East for some time now, and a lot of violence stemmed from that region. So, and it, closer to home, many debates, like the charter debate, has taken a lot of space in people's minds and feelings. So, of course, discrimination towards people of Muslim or Arab descent has increased, actually. And I would say due to many factors. Of course, the international events have a big factor to play into that, but also perceptions, right? The perception that immigrants from those countries are not well integrated, this perception of those immigrants from those countries do not speak English or French, or maybe gender relations, right? Perhaps men from Arab majority countries or Muslim majority countries are seen as not as accepting of women as much as their Western counterparts. Perhaps, often the case, we hear that immigrants in general, they need a Canadian experience to be taken seriously. So a lot of factors can come into play when it comes to discrimination in a workforce.
Have you seen this reflected in your friends and acquaintances?
Personally, no. Or actually, whether I've lived it or not, maybe I'll never know whether I was discriminated against or not. Because if I wasn't called for a certain job after having applied, well, probably I will never really know the reasons. Maybe my CV got lost, or maybe I'm overqualified, I'm underqualified. I mean, I like to give the benefit of the doubt, first of all, before mm-hmm. jumping to conclusions and think that everybody is racist around me. But it is a reality, and I should not deny that. It is a reality that, unfortunately, if you have a name that sounds Muslim or that sounds Arab, your chances are maybe less than your counterpart who has a Western name. And what's interesting is that I have a lot of my friends who have small children, and who recently gave birth, and they don't choose Arab names anymore. They choose names that can sound a little bit Arab, but can also is easier to pronounce in English or French. And I find it really interesting. Does it mean that the new generation of Arabs here in Canada will have different names? Are Arab, typically Arab names, will they disappear in a couple of generations? So perhaps. But discrimination is, especially in Quebec, I would say, especially in Quebec. I've been here for 24 years. So I do not consider myself immigrant anymore.
You were a child when you came.
I was a child when I came here. So I went to university. Obviously, I went to elementary school, high school, Cégep University. I worked here all my life. So I don't consider myself any different from another Canadian of another origin. Perhaps other people see me as an immigrant still, but I do not see myself as an immigrant anymore. I think one question that's really important to ask is, when do we stop being an immigrant? After how many years, how many generations? And will your name betray you? So, as far as discrimination is concerned, I have spoken to many newcomers, and, you know, they've been lured to come to Quebec because, you know, the potential opportunities and to have a better life and to... But unfortunately, they face a harsh reality. They realize that, hey, it takes more than diplomas to succeed here. It takes more than language skills to succeed here. It takes a strong network of people. which is something that immigrants, newcomers do not have when they come here. And I've been reflecting on this recently. My parents did not have a network either when they came here.
Your parents came from where?
My parents, well, were originally from Syria. Parents lived in the United Arab Emirates a couple of years before coming to Canada. So.
And how old were you when you came?
I was 7.
Just starting school?
I was starting school. I was starting elementary school. My parents already knew French. English less, but French. That's why they chose Quebec, because it's French-speaking province.
And how did you learn English?
I learned English in school. I learned English in school. I learned French first and then English. And then I always had an English education. But my parents chose Quebec because it speaks French. And my dad, who is a university professor, he had dreams. He had big dreams of teaching at universities. But unfortunately, it has been a very different route for him. It has been very difficult. So for the generation of my parents, they probably say, you know what? We haven't succeeded at becoming who we wanted to become in Canada. But that's okay, because our kids will succeed at that. So when us, the kids, face discrimination and when we feel that we're being put on the margin of society because of who we are, what we represent, because of our names, well, that becomes unacceptable. That becomes unacceptable. So the fight is different. We're no longer on a survival mode. We're more on the acceptance mode. Actually, we don't want to be, it's not the question of being accepted or not. It's we do not want to be taken for granted. And we don't see ourselves any different from other Canadians. And it's interesting when I talk about identity issues or identity questions with friends of mine who are originally from Africa or originally from China, etc. And it's interesting how we all face the same dilemma and same reality, although we're very different, we come from very different cultural backgrounds, but we face the same reality of discrimination.
Everybody feels
different. We feel different. Everybody feels different. And I find it interesting because I thought that I was the only one living this reality, or my people, you know, Arab people live the same reality. But no, other people as well. Other communities live this reality. And it's really interesting to see that.
Yeah. Now, you wear the hijab. Mm-hmm. So automatically you are visually different.
Yes.
Do you feel that that has a part in it?
Perhaps. Surely it does. Yeah, it does. But I'm a very positive person. I tend to not dwell over the things that could potentially make me depressed, meaning I don't see myself as a victim. I don't see myself as a person who needs to be saved or a person who, you know, could have had it better if I was different, if I was white, if I had a white name, if I looked white. Quote unquote, right?
I don't know how much whiter you could be. That's the thing.
Yeah. And
the fact that Arab people are classified as a visible minority in Canada,
yes,
is very interesting.
Yes, it is interesting.
Somewhat perplexing.
It is to a certain extent. But I think when we talk about white, we talk about Caucasian, we talk about a set of values, we talk about, I think, the absence of cultural baggage, right? Because you could be, you know, of a white skin. I mean, my cousins, they look, you know, they have blue eyes and blonde hair and have freckles, and they look anything but what a typical Arab might look like.
Mm-hmm.
Yet, as you said, they might be classified as visible minority according to, I guess, the classification. But, you know, classifying people is sometimes absurd. Do we really need to do that? Perhaps it's in human nature. And again, when you talk with kids and you look at how they interact with each other, they don't see colors, they don't see differences, right? They just want to play.
Now, you've been living here in Montreal, which has certainly been economically stagnant, if not declining, for many decades now. Have you considered moving to Toronto or Vancouver, perhaps?
I have considered that, for sure, and it's I think humans should not be bound by any geographical boundaries. There's so many opportunities in so many different places in the world, and the world is so big and wonderful to explore. So I would like to have a very international vision and a global vision when I look at things. And yes, if you look at it from an objective point of view, the opportunities in Montreal and Quebec are very limited compared to the rest of the province. So,
or the rest of the country.
Compared to the rest of the country. So when I speak to youth my age about difficulties, you know, in finding opportunities, job opportunities, I find that it's a reality that we all face as young Canadians, regardless of our cultural background. It is a difficult reality because the economic situation is challenging at this point. So this is across culture, across religions, across, it's a reality young people face these days. Of course, when you have a certain cultural baggage to top it off, it becomes difficult. But I did live in Toronto for a while, and I noticed the difference between Montreal and Toronto in terms of accepting the other, in terms of openness.
What did you find?
I found that, you know, the definition of cultural diversity in Toronto is more seen as a cultural mosaic, whereas here in Montreal, maybe not Montreal, but maybe the province of Quebec, because I feel Montreal is the exception of Quebec. The province of Quebec, it's more of a melting pot, right? You have to be, I feel sometimes like I'm not allowed to say that I have cultural baggage. I'm not allowed to say that I've come from somewhere else. It's like, yes, we will accept you as a Quebecois, but don't talk about where you come from, or don't say that you have a cultural baggage. Whereas in English Canada, I feel perhaps it's more accepting, and being Canadian today means you can have multiple identities at the same time, and it's okay. Whereas here, it's like, okay, if you want to be Quebecois, well, you're Quebecois, but don't mention that you have origins from somewhere else. I don't know. Perhaps I'm wrong, but this is, at least it's a discourse that I've been hearing a lot these days.
Let's talk about the charter and the experience of this discussion here in Quebec. It's been a very divisive issue. Tell me about your experience of it.
Quite frankly, I was very distant from it, although I should be the most concerned. But I, just for my own sanity, I would say, just for my own sanity, I distanced myself a little bit from it. Of course, I was following what was happening, the debates, etc. But I tried as much as possible not to be involved in debates because, well, first of all, because I was doing some journalism work, so I needed to be distant and exclude myself from, you know, from this debate. But at the same time, especially in social media, where people give themselves permission to say whatever they want, and all while thinking that they're anonymous, but they're not. The debate has been very clumsy, and it just created more distance between people. It created, it showed how ignorant people could be as well. And when political parties jump on a bandwagon and stir this hatred for their own political means, that's pretty cheap. That's very cheap.
However, we must say that the political party that was espousing this lost the election.
Absolutely.
And the debate is very much, if not history,
Absolutely. Totally
on a back burner.
Oh, yeah. And Quebecers have sent a very strong message. And that was very powerful to say, hey, we oust the party that used the charter in a very cheap way to create hatred and division between us. And that tells a lot about what Quebecers say and think. And at that moment, as much as I had a lot of respect for Pauline Marois as a woman politician, I felt a little bit uncomfortable to see, you know, the fall of a, not so much the fall of a party, yes, the fall of a party, but also the fall of a woman and how she was used as an instrument and how to further that debate. But the message that the Quebecers sent was very powerful.
And as a society, it is not racist society. It does not want to go down that path.
No,
of...
no. I believe in the intelligence of people. And I really think that, yes, as much as we hear, you know, simplest analysis of the world and simplest analysis of the of different cultural communities, there are a lot of course, intelligent people who are worldly, who have interacted with their neighbors and who are curious and who want to build, I guess, this a bridge of communication and a bridge of friendship. So as much as I despise when I hear people say, oh, all Arabs are like this, or all Muslims are like that, I also despise people when they say, oh, all Quebecers are racist. It's not true. It's not true. Racism, there's no cultural community that has the monopoly of racism, right? Racism is everywhere, but at the same time, we cannot generalize. And that's very clumsy if we do so. It's like perpetuating this cycle of hate. If I say that all, you know, this particular culture community is racist or that particular... No, it's a case-by-case situation. People are racist, but nations are not racist, right? It's a case-by-case situation.
Usama Kamaraya, thank you.
Thank you very much.